This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Hugh's Clues, a $100 gift card
to a hundo.
Sunoco given away today. Hugh, what was that first clue again?
The first clue is a car.
A car. There are so many cars. You think you're really funny over there?
I do.
Thinks he's really funny.
I am thoroughly. I've been told I've been irritating, so I know I've probably irritated a lot of people.
They're right.
Step in, get in line, because I've been told that before. It's not like, you know, that's news to anybody.
Nothing new here?
Yeah, nothing to see.
It's going to be a bad off season for our friendship.
Wait a minute. You know what I do?
You know what we need? Actually, I know what we need.
What we need?
As a show, we need a nice, relaxing trip down to spring training so we could talk some baseball. By the way, I'm not just saying that. We are going to spring training. We're leaving on Sunday.
What time are we leaving?
I think our flight's around 11.
And yeah, 11:55 noon, I think.
Yeah,
11:55. Okay, that's cool.
Monday and Tuesday, we'll be live in Clearwater. We're working on our guest list for next week. So we're excited to talk some baseball because we are, you know, today is 2 weeks from opening day.
Crazy.
It's like 2 weeks from today.
It's gonna be cold.
Well, that's usually the opening.
I think I need that too.
I do too. I need some baseball. Not that we won't yell about that.
We need the we've been talking about transitioning for weeks.
The Eagles discourse right now is just absolutely driving me insane.
It's not even the today. What's is interesting about this conversation is this isn't necessarily even like you have to be mad about it. Have they done it? Have the scales tipped so far? You could say yes and agree or disagree with it. But like the coping is out of control.
No, you know what? You know what's funny, and this is the way that I see it. It's because there's a lot of people that are waking up that listen to this show every day that I get on their nerves thoroughly. And I irritated them to death with my defense is a luxury, not a necessity take. And today there's a lot of people waking up and saying, you know what, that a-hole might know what he was talking about. Like that's the reality.
Well, they're still pissed.
Yeah, and they're mad at me. Yeah. Like they're mad at me. I would not be surprised. Like, that's why I'm going to have to go on here and wear my hat real low. If I get egged today, people are going to be mad because they feel I had something to do.
No one's egging people in this economy.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
$6.50 for eggs?
You're right about that.
They throw a nose. You're crazy.
They might throw the plastic eggs for Easter.
They
might just transition to rocks at this point.
You know what?
You better watch out, man.
But there's a lot of people. Who was it that called? When Juice called? Who else? Steve?
Are you keeping a list?
No, because, listen. Because if I'm not mistaken, Steve, I know you're probably listening. Wasn't Steve the one who told me I didn't know nothing about baseball like a long time ago? Was that Steve?
It may have been.
Matt.
Matt.
No, that was Matt.
Yeah.
But it's like Steve has a condescending tone when he talks about when we talk about certain things. And I think Steve had to come to grips with the fact that maybe I know what I'm talking about. Like, that to me is a great feeling.
So whatever helps you sleep at night, dude.
I sleep like a baby.
Let you have that one. All right, 215-592-9494.
Shout out to Steve and Juice.
Back to the phones here. Have the Eagles tied up too much money on the offensive side of the football? It feels that way to me now because they're letting defensive players go left and right, and including Slay yesterday. They have a lot of money allocated already for next year and the year after that to the offensive side of the football. I mean, depending on what happens with Becton, he's not back yet. Maybe he will be. But they could have every single offensive player on their second contract. I mean, I'm not counting Dotson. I just mean the two starting receivers. We'll see about the tight end, if he comes back or not. All the linemen, the running back, obviously the quarterback. And yet on defense, they're just shuffling guys around. Have they gone too far with the spending? Yeah, that's what they could say. I guess so. Have they gone too far with the spending on the offense and leaving that defense thin now moving forward? Bob in Williamstown. Hey, Bob. Bobby.
The moment was too big.
We'll get back to Bob. All right, before we go back to the phones, there is a report out there that does at least give me some hope that we're going to recalibrate this thing and get some, you know, some spending on the defensive side of the football. According to Cam Marino, who covers the NFL, he said the Eagles are keeping an eye on the Bengals situation with All-Pro Edge Trey Hendrickson.
I would be happy if he came here.
Now, here's the question. Who needs this more, the Eagles or myself and Kyle on this
show? Well, you and Kyle. Like,
well, I need a win.
Y'all are feeling some kind of way.
I need a win.
Y'all are feeling some kind of way. But listen, I love both of you guys, even though we don't agree most of the time. I didn't come in this morning peacocking. I didn't say it. I didn't say nothing.
Hold on.
Y'all thought I was, but I wasn't. I didn't.
Well, yes, you were. You had the biggest smirk on your face.
When I asked you the question.
Just because I'm smirk. Maybe I had a good night. Maybe I was playing Destiny last night with my clan members, and you know, I did my thing.
Were you? I'm looking at the
free. I did play Destiny last night.
So here's what happened. Let's take everyone inside the meeting. Inside the meeting this morning. This is what Hugh's referencing, right?
Well, we've crossed all kind of racial lines on this show.
Again, your fault. So usually the way it works is we'll sit down in the meeting. Hugh's algorithm will be all over the place. He'll tell us what he's saying. But eventually, I will ask him a question. Like, it's kind of what's in my head, and maybe depending on where the discussion goes, we'll do this for the lead of the show. But I usually ask him a question. He gives me an answer. That's it. Like, we do this every day. This morning, I asked him, you know, do you think they've gone too far with their spending on offense? And he laughs and goes, I'm not going to answer that.
He's like, no, I don't know.
No,
because he's peacocking.
That's how it did go.
You peacocked around.
Because, you know what? When all this happened last night, when I was about to go to Vegas to save Dawn, and then I said I need to be here to do this show, because I was damn sure about to go save her.
People need me.
Because the
congregation needs me. I was like, okay. Because I, like, contrary to popular belief, I respect both of you guys, and I value your opinion. I do. And I was like, I never wanted to start out contentious in the morning. I never do. Like, it tends to end up that way anyway, but that's not how I want to start the day. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to be, you know, I mean, I see it, they see it, we talk about it. So I'm not going to say a whole lot, because it's not a whole lot that needs to be said. That's all.
It did get contentious, by the way. I broke the mic back here.
See, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't need to be contentious at the beginning of the day. It's going to get that way anyway.
I think the last time I broke a mic was when I was doing the night show. Caller just, I lost it.
I know you don't mind.
Was it Jay in West Philly?
You live for confrontation, Kyle. You live for a daily confrontation every day.
I like my job.
You know, you do. And I just want to sit sometimes, man. I just want to sit back here and laugh and giggle and, you know.
Well, you did that the other day and drove us crazy.
Giggles Douglas was out of control.
Giggles over here. All right,
I'm just saying. I'm just talking.
Let's go to Mick in Easton. What's up, Mick? Hey, Mick.
The moment was too big.
I mean, come on.
Mick? All right.
This is out of control.
All right, I'm going to go to someone I can count on. That's Will in the Northeast. I can count on Will.
Dream team, how y'all doing?
Will! What's up, buddy?
All right, man. Listen, man. Yesterday, man, it was awesome, bro. Like, y'all got to do that at least once a month if y'all can, man. The fans loved it, man. But I'm going to say this, right? We back to the basics. Now, I want to take some credit for this, man, because, you know, y'all was grinding.
See what you've done, Hugh?
Talking about the running backs and all that. And I kept pushing for it, even though I was saying Derrick Henry. But they kind of understood what I was saying about we need a running back that's just going to wear the defense down, right? And then I also brought up the split backs with him, Derrick Henry, and Saquon. But now they got my man Dylan, So now they could probably use that now, because now you don't know which one you're going to get, the thunder or the lightning. You know what I'm saying? So I think that was a pretty good move. What I'm really thinking is, you know, I think the young Thundercats, they're going to make an impact, man. I know they've been sitting on the sideline. They've been waiting for their turn. And now I think their turn is going to be this season. And I think they may be a little stronger and a little faster. So, you know, we can't, like, just totally say, oh, man, and start worrying about the defense. What I am going to worry about is this offense now, because we really don't know what we're getting with this coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he's anyway halfway decent, like our last offensive coordinator, then, yeah, we got a chance. But, like, as far as the defense, you know, I think we're going to make a good move. I don't think that's going to be a real big problem. But like I said, this coordinator, man, we just got to hope and pray that he know what he's doing. That's
well,
all.
We do. Well, he's got a lot of talent to work with, and they have to, and just based on what they're doing with the team, they're going to have to carry the day next season. So hopefully he's great at what he does, Petullo here. All right, Will, give us a guess here. Hugh's first clue is it's a car. Will, what is he talking about? What car?
You said a famous car. I think it's something that we all probably used to watch back in the day, probably Knight Rider.
Ooh, that's a good guess.
Good guess. Not it, though, Will. That is a fun guess, though. All right, so we'll give us a fun guess to start us off.
Knight Rider used to be, like, that was the ride back then, man. That was nice.
Yeah, that was certainly that's a good guess. I like that by Will.
Michael Knight.
Yes. Do we have anything else on the Hendrickson situation, Kyle? What was the latest on how much it might cost for a Trey Hendrickson?
So, according to Diana Rossini, I think she had this quote from an NFL GM who said, let me just make sure I get it right here, said, quote, unquote, the price is ridiculous, as one GM told her.
Yeah, so I don't know what it's going to cost, but his age does play a factor in that. Right? Like, I'm not going to give a one for a guy that's 31 years old.
And this feels like a classic negotiating tactic. Like, they don't want to give. Yeah, they don't want to give him away for nothing, so they're probably asking for the sun and the moon and the stars, but that should go down as the offseason progresses.
I would hope. And look, he's still a good player. 17.5 sacks each of the last year. He's an all pro. I mean, if they could get him, that certainly would balance this a little bit and make me feel like, all right, they're giving something back to the defense here. Let's go to JD in Southwest Philly. Hey, JD.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, JD. What's up?
Right. So here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. When I was on the phone going through my weekly back and forth with Kyle before we get on, you know, he made a point. He said, you know, I have my opinion, you have your opinion, we don't know who's right, time will tell, right? Sort of that kind of thing.
It's a genius point.
And you know, Joe and Kyle, y'all have, you know, of course I don't agree with y'all, but you know, I have history on my side for my argument, whereas I think y'all have emotion. So if you just indulge with me for a second, I think I can make an argument. And if you're honest with yourself,
all right, I'm excited. I'm excited. The floor is yours,
yeah,
JD. Go ahead.
So I just got one question before I ask your question. Do you believe that Cornell Minshew was a top five cornerback in the league this year, talent wise? Like, he played it. He didn't make All Pro, but he was a top five talent at cornerback this year.
I'll say yes. I mean, somewhere between probably 5 and 10. He was very, very, very good. Yes.
Okay, so here we go. We've had four defenses that I can think of over the last, you know, 20 years that won a championship, were the main reason for winning a championship. You have Tampa Bay, right? Mm. You have Seattle, you have Denver, and you have Baltimore, correct?
Okay, so, yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, so the thing that those defenses had that the Eagles have as well, and I'll add the Eagles in there, they had at least three or four all-pro talents on their defense that they never let go anywhere, nowhere, right? If you do Baltimore, you had Ed Reed, you had Terrell Suggs, you had Ray Lewis. They never let them go anywhere. They let everybody else go and everything like that, but they kept those guys, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you had the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the early 2000s, you had Rondé Barber, you had Derek Brooks, you had Warren Sapp. Everybody else left. They never let those guys go anywhere, right? When you had the Denver Broncos a few years ago, you had Von Miller, you had Chris Harris, you had Aqib Talib. Those are the Pro Bowlers that they had on their point. Team, the point that I'm making is when you have three or four Pro Bowl, not Pro Bowl, all pro talents on your defense, you have a chance to be a top 10 defense every year. And that's what this team is going to be. They may not be number one, but they are not dropping out of the top 10 with those three talents that they have on every single level of their defense. The only difference between the other teams and the Eagles and why I think the Eagles are sustainable is because we also have a top 10 offense to go with it. I'm telling you, man, this defense is not going to fall out of the top 10 next year. And if they stay in the top 10 with the offense we got every single year, we are going to have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
That's probably the best argument I've heard in two days.
You did a good job, though.
I think it makes sense. And I think that that's probably the hope that they could still be a top 10 defense next year. But, J.D., would you not agree the reason they were so great this year and they were able to get a 2 seed and do what they did is because they had the number one defense, not top 10, but number one.
Outlier.
Yes, and I do agree with you with that, but that's why I said this is the only reason I'm not really getting on you and Kyle is because this is uncharted territory for us. We ain't never had this many Pro Bowlers, all pros on the same defense.
Right.
Like the Eagles defense has never had that, so I'm giving y'all a mulligan for that. But I'm telling you, when next year comes and they're still a top 10 defense with that offense, and I'm not saying we're going to win a Super Bowl every single year, but I'm telling you, as long as we have Carter and Vaughn is still playing like an All-Pro, and Quinyon Mitchell, he's going to win an All-Pro during his career. Ain't no doubt about that. As long as we got those guys, and we still got some Pro Bowl talent sprinkled in there, some young guys sprinkled in there, we're going to be fine. We're going to be a top 10 defense. And they can spend the money on offense.
Best argument I've heard so far. All right, J.D., give us a guess for Hughes Clues. What car are you talking about?
I don't know. Mustang, I guess.
Not a fair guess, not it, but it's at least it's a car. I mean, it's a car.
Kyle couldn't wait to hit that buzzer.
The buzzer's really at you more than the people. I mean, the buzzer's.
Man, I gave a good clue. Man, listen, I am transparent. I'm like an open book. All you have to do is think about it. Just think about it, people. These clues that I give you every day are gems. I drop these gems every day.
You know what? I'm going to start using those lines after the open of the show. These are gems that I'm dropping.
You just don't understand.
If you think about it, you'll understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, if you just think about it, if you know this show and if you know me, think about it.
Just open your mind.
Open your mind.
Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Yo, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Hey, listen, man. To Joe and Kyle point, yes, I'm worried. The CJ DJ thing got me pissed off because he wasn't actually a cost of anything for them letting him go. He wasn't messing with their chat, the cash, none of that. His contract wasn't bothering none of that. So it had to be something personal or more on board than what they, putting out there. However, to Hugh's point, he won me over. Defense is a luxury, and I'm going to tell you why. First off, I've never been a believer of defense win games. In high school, I played tight end and defensive end. However, I love playing defensive end. But defense don't win you games. They keep you in the game. They keep you competitive. You need to construct an organized offense to win games because the only way you win is by scoring points. So putting all that money into the offense paid off because it gave them the pieces they needed to score points and win games. Now, the defense did what the defense was supposed to do, which was keep them in games, keep them competitive. But at the same time, you can mix them and match them pieces together and strike, iron striking cold, like oppose the offense. You need an offense to gel. You need all the pieces there as weapons. With defense, you don't really need that. You just need everybody to do their job and hold down the fort. So to Hugh's point, you won me over, man. Defense is a luxury. I'm pissed that the defense got a lot of holes in it right now and a lot of questions. But this is indicative to the 2017 year. They won the Super Bowl and they got rid of – who does that? How do you create a dynasty if you get rid of all of your players that got you – To the big game, the big dance. Like, who fires the DJ that had the party rocking? Like, I don't understand what Howard Roseman is doing, but somehow in some sick, twisted way, it'd be working. So I'm just going to sit back and watch what happens. But, yeah, defense don't win you games. They keep you competitive. The offense has to have all of them key components and put that money in there so that they can win you the game.
That's just how I see it.
All right, Self. At risk of making Hugh feel like he's won people over here, you make some fair points. Self, what do you got for us for a guess for Hugh's Clues?
I'm going to go simple, man. I'm going to give it a Mercedes-Benz.
A Mercedes-Benz. A good guess. Not it, though. Self, we appreciate it. Hugh, this segment is sponsored by...
It's sponsored by the Mattress Warehouse with exclusive bed match technology to find your perfect mattress.
All right, 215-592-9494. Marlon in Southwest Philly. What's up, Marlon?
Hey, listen. Now, hold up. Now, Hugh, I know you sometimes drop some gems, but right now... You peacocking, but you playing double standard. Because you know how you playing double standard.
How am I playing double standard, Marlon?
Because you sitting here talking about defense is a luxury, right? But you haven't yet admitted that these jokers that won the Super Bowl this year would not have won it if it wasn't for the defense.
Marlon, this is, like, listen, I expect this coming from a Cowboys
fan.
What's
your point?
Because, Marlon. You ain't. I said that. I acknowledged that weeks ago. And I also said, Marlon, if you were paying attention, that this defense was lightning in a bottle. So how am I being a hypocrite?
Oh, well, you got a point there because, first of all, the other guy was like, but you did make a point earlier that anybody that won the Super Bowl made changes. No, that's not the way it works.
Who didn't make changes? Don't say the Cowboys because they're.
The only ones make changes is the ones that won the Super Bowl,
Marlon,
and do what
Marlon,
y'all do, and now
Marlon,
now y'all out. That's
Marlon,
why y'all don't got back to back.
Marlon, every team.
So how can you make that statement,
Marlon? I know it's been a while since y'all won the Super Bowl or even been to a playoff game.
Don't try to flip
but
the
Marlon,
script.
I'm not flipping the script, Marlon. I'm about
don't
to tell you something.
It.
Even when the Dallas Cowboys won the Super Bowl, they lost defensive players.
They had the same defense. Boy,
they did not. Leon Lett wasn't a part of their first couple of Super Bowls. He was a part of, like, the last one. It's been so damn long, Marlon, I can't remember. And then you went and got Charles Haley. Charles,
that go back to back.
I was in grade school when it happened.
You know what, Joe? I can't even argue with you because I can't remember who was on their damn team back then. But the point remains, Marlon.
Fox just got the NFL at that point. It's a long time
ago. But the point remains, Marlon, that every team changes because every team gets picked apart when – they win the Super Bowl. That's the point. You missed that point. You so blinded by your Eagles hate and the fact that your team is not good that you don't hear half of these gems that I'm dropping because you're jealous. Well, Marlon, you just need to come on here and be an Eagles fan, dog. Just come on in, dog.
No, I don't want Marlon.
Well, he's
well,
not allowed.
You know, they're not going to let you in, but come on in, dog. Come on in.
He is half an Eagles fan. Every Cowboy fan that calls this station and listens all the time is half an – like, deep down, they actually like the Eagles.
Well, they're just frauds in general. But so, like, you said every team that wins the Super Bowl gets picked apart. But, like, the reality of that is – that teams don't repeat very often, and they don't stay at the top very often. I want to stay at the top.
No, and I think that with their model, that they feel that they can.
And we will find out. All right, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. Have the Eagles gone too far with spending on offense? I mean, Roy, the backdrop of this offseason so far is, yes, teams are offering a lot of money, free agency. They kind of saw some of this coming, but they spent a lot of money the last couple of years on – locking up the offensive players, and they've let the defensive players either go or get to free agency. This is their choice. Have they gone too far with the spending on the offense compared to the defense? I think so. Hugh doesn't. Where do you come down? Plus, conflicting comments by a couple NFL insiders on the Becton situation. Adam Schefter with his take on the Eagles' plan. Your phone calls coming up here. In this hour on 94WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car 94 only at Sunoco. Plus, another huge clue on the other side on Sports Radio 94WIP.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson for former first-round guard Kenyon Green trade. So a fresh start for Kenyon Green. Doesn't mean they're out on Mekhi Becton, but at least some offensive line help and some depth. Also a pick swap.
Ian Rapoport announcing the deal that sent CJGJ to the Houston Texans. Welcome back. Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. That's how you hop aboard. So we know what's happened so far. The Eagles brought in A.J. Dillon, former Packer running back. They're all in favor of the deal because low risk feels like maybe high upside kind of move.
Yeah.
I'm good with it. Hugh, I liked him coming out of college. And when I think the Packers took him in the second round, so he wasn't a nobody coming out of college. And hopefully he can stay healthy. And
maybe and you thinking and seeing what happened with Saquon, He might come in and try to resurrect his career.
I'm sure he could. Look, I thought before a couple years ago he could become a guy, and then he just had injury issues. So hopefully he stays healthy. But they imported. Everything else, for the most part, until the move they made this morning, has been guys moving on. Let's listen to Adam Schefter talking about the Eagles' plan here, what he thinks they're doing, what people around the league think the Eagles are doing this offseason, and then the big picture plan.
The Philadelphia Eagles are scheduled to have 20 draft picks in the next 2 years, Ty. 20 picks. Most teams in a given draft have 7. The Eagles have 20 the next 2 years, including 11 in the first 4 rounds of the next 2 years. 11 and 17 in the first 5 rounds of the next 2 years. You know what those picks do? Those picks give you a chance to bring in good young players on rookie contracts that allow you to pay the veteran superstars. So they're planning on these young players stepping in. And who has had a better drafting record than the Philadelphia Eagles? And by the way, it's probably going to turn into more once they lose Mekhi Becton. And who knows how they're going to manipulate the draft this year and potentially turn it into more picks next year or the year after. So this was, I think, part of the plan for them to move forward like this.
So there's Schefter talking about all the picks they have. 20 picks in the next 2 years, 11 of which are in the first 4 rounds of those drafts. That's a lot of draft picks.
Yeah, man. And it's, you know, I'm not even Adam Schefter, and I kind of saw that. You want to stay young on defense. You want to get young, smart players that can come in and play your style and then see how they do. And then you identify the guys. You know, we always talk about Jalen Carter and what he was in the first year here. Look what he turned into with good coaching. Like, that's what, like, he is, like, next year, you know, this year he stepped up big time.
Mm-hmm.
And now he understands and knows that he's in position. If he has another year like he had last year, he's going to make a ton of money.
He is. And the more he makes, and let's say Nolan Smith makes and Quinyon makes, they're going to need even more guys around them that are really cheap. So I get the strategy, and I think it makes sense considering the way the roster is right now. But they're not going to pick 20 players the next 2 years that make the team. They just,
no, I don't think so.
It's win-now teams don't have that many rookies. So it makes me wonder, are they going to package some of these picks to move up in rounds? If they really, like last year when they moved up to get Cooper, they identify someone, they go get him. That's possible. I also think Howie might trade some of these picks for players that are in the league right now that are still on the rookie deal that could help them. Like last year was Jahan Dotson, and he helped, you know, he was whatever. He did make a catch in the Super Bowl. Great. But like a guy like that, that the team he's on, the Mayer guy, the tight end in Las Vegas that's brought up, I could see them trading 2 or 3 of these picks for guys that end up playing a lot next year. We just don't know who they are yet, but their team has said, we're kind of done with them.
Yeah, like, so sometimes I feel like we, as fans, go a little bit too far with the getting young thing. I love when you have a team and you can look ahead and you're like, man, a lot of young players, they should be around for a while. Mm-hmm. But some veterans are good. Some veterans, by the way, are established great players already in the league. They help the young guys get along and they help you win the big games like Super Bowls and stuff. Darius Slays of the world. Like, yeah, right. I mean, even Brandon Graham, you know, like veterans are good to have and they help round out a roster. You don't want to have a roster full of all 25-year-olds. I mean, like it's nice, but that's sort of that's a team that you look to be good in the future. I want a team that can win the Super Bowl right now. Like and by the way, the Cooper DeJean and Quinyon Mitchell thing, that was rare for rookies to come in and contribute right away like that. Even Jalen Carter took a year.
The Kansas City Chiefs did it. They did it with 2 rookies a couple years ago when they won.
But it's rare.
You'd have to say that's not typical. Quinyon and Cooper played at star levels.
But it is now. That's what the NFL is going towards now. Look around the league, man, and look at how many contributions that young guys are bringing to the table.
But couldn't I bring up like a few other teams that drafted first and second round players thinking they were going to be good and they weren't?
Yeah. I mean, and that's what I can think of the draft that I was in, guys that got picked before me that didn't do well. There was one draft, I can't remember which year it was, where every first round draft pick, and it was like in the early 2000s, they were not good. Yeah. It was a bunch of guys. That's the chance you always take.
But there is a certainty. Like I know Slay's gone now, right? But like Slay, as the last few years played out, he was getting older. But there's like you kind of know what you're getting with Slay. There's more risk to the draft. Then there's more reward if you get a Quinyon dirt cheap for 4 or 5 years at a high level. But there's risk.
And again, it's the organization and the guys that they pick. They go out just like recruiters. When you recruit, like, look at the draft like a recruiting seminar, because basically that's what it is. Mm-hmm. You're recruiting. You go out and you have a workshop where you get to see all the best and the brightest from every school all over the place. And you have these meetings where you vet these young men to figure out their why. The Eagles have in this combine, when they went to the combine, they've identified a first rounder, they've identified their contingency, and they've also identified other guys that they feel will fit the role and have success in the system that they implement. And with that being said, to me, it feels like the biggest emphasis that they have on these young players is coachable. That's big. If you're coachable, if you're a coachable guy and you're willing to work hard, that can make up for talent deficiencies. Now, I understand you got to have, and I'm not sitting here saying that you can't have talent, because you have to have talent. But when you talk about this team and you talk about having a good defense, you got to have talent at every level. That's how it was always taught to me. You want to have talent on your defensive line. You want to have talent in your linebacker group. And you want to have talent in your secondary. Wait a minute. Let me finish, because I'm cooking. I'm about to tie it all in for you, bro. And when you look at this team right now, today, you have talent. You have Pro Bowl talent at every level.
But they've lost undeniable. Talent at two of the levels.
But
right.
you have those cogs, those significant cogs at every level. You talk to anybody that has been a defensive coordinator at the highest level, they will tell you that. You give me one good defensive lineman, you give me a good linebacker, and you give me some good secondary players, I can make that work. Any good coach can do that.
But at what point do you rely too heavily and too much on young and especially rookie players to play those roles for you? Like, I get the Chiefs example, but let's be real about this. Like, correlation doesn't always equal causation. The Chiefs didn't win that Super Bowl against us because of those young rookie corners. They got torched by Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. Not really. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football. That's why they won the Super Bowl. We can be honest about this.
It's funny, because we sit here and we'll talk about how good the defense was, but now we're talking about the secondary.
So I would say the next year the Chiefs defense led the way. The one they beat us, it was their offense.
Right.
The bottom line is
the one they beat the Niners, I would say Snead and McDuffie, they led the way.
If I put it like this. If we were talking about Jalen Carter and we let Jalen Carter go, I'm sounding the alarms. I am uncomfortable. We are not going to be that good, because he's a generational talent. There's no disputing that. Now, what happens this year, you know, whether or not he takes that next step is remains to be seen. But right now, he is a generational talent.
All right, 215-592-9494. Hugh's going to give you a second clue in a second here for Hugh's Clues. This hour is on 94 WIP. It's fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance from your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Speaking of Sunoco, Hugh, we have a $100 gift card to give away to Sunoco.
100.
All right, so first clue was a car.
It's a car.
Second clue. How the people need some help here. Come on.
Y'all ready for this one?
I'm ready.
This should make it easy. This clue I'm about to drop on y'all should make it easy.
Help the people out.
This car was driven by an iconic 70s actor.
Okay, so we got a car driven by an iconic 70s actor. All right, before we go back to the phone lines here, we'll get to everyone's phone calls. Hugh, you ever look at something, you read it quickly, and then you kind of look back, and you're like, did I miss something there? I think we may have, or I may have. Hugh, earlier today we had the breaking news that the Eagles signed Josh Uche, right? The pass rusher, formerly of the Patriots, played the last half of this past season with the Kansas City Chiefs. He is here now on a one-year deal. And this is the way Adam Schefter reported this. Are you ready for the wording on this?
Mm-hmm.
Quote, pass rush help for Philadelphia Eagles reached agreement today. The Eagles reached agreement today on a one-year deal with former Chiefs free agent linebacker Josh Uche, who will now try to help replace Josh Sweat and Brandon Graham. Now, Hugh, we know Josh Sweat is a member of the Arizona Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be shocked if Brandon Graham signed somewhere else. Does Adam Schefter know something that we don't? Is that Schefter's way of telling us Graham is likely retiring?
See, that's a good question. I don't know. I think, if I'm being honest, I think Brandon is working through some things right now. You know, I had a chance to talk to him, and he didn't say to me that he was retiring. But that is probably something that him and his wife are discussing. I would not be surprised. You know, I mean, the one time when I was married and, you know, you get hurt and, you know, your wife thinking about your kids and everything. I'm pretty sure his wife has some concerns about his quality of life after football. And I'm pretty sure they're having conversations about, you know, their financial situation, which is not in dire straits. But still, you want to map out a plan for the next chapter in your life. And I'm pretty sure Brandon's trying to figure that out. He's trying to figure out what he wants to do, how he wants to attack this. Does he want to play another year? Does he want to get healthy and give it one more go and play another year? I'll tell you this. When I did talk to Brandon, the first thing I said to him, I said, I'm proud of you. I said, because you had the kind of career that I wish I had. Mm. I said, you played in 3 Super Bowls, dog. You came into the league. And there was a lot of question marks about you. You stayed the course. And you became an iconic figure here in Philadelphia. And I said, on top of that, I said, dog, you played in the Super Bowl and won it. I said, you tore your arm up in the Super Bowl and you won it. I said, hell, I did that and we lost. I said, I'm just like putting it in perspective. I was like, I almost had a moment. I was like, shoot, shucks. Like, You have the storybook ending of anybody's NFL career, dog. I said, so whatever you decide to do, you've won. Like, you've won on so many different levels. So I said, you know, I appreciate you. I have a tremendous amount of respect for you. And, I mean, that was it. It's just when you talk about a player that has seen he's seen it all. You know, he went from being the guy that nobody thought he was a bust to being the guy that, you know, had some controversial things to say about his teammates. And he won 2 Super Bowls, went to three, won 2.
Most games played in the history of the uniform.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an all-time Eagle. Look, yeah. I hope he comes back. The wording, though, of the Schefter thing makes me wonder if we'll soon hear that he's not. We shall see. 215-592-9494. Nick is in Douglasville. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. What's up, buddy?
One thing. Now, if I get this Blues Clues right, I don't want gas. Can you guys give me some tickets here?
No. You get the prize we're giving you. You Nick, can't come on here changing the prize. What's wrong with you?
Man, you're killing me.
What you mean? We give you $100 worth of gas. Where else you going somewhere to get $100 worth of gas? And really, you're getting $6 extra because Joe going to get in trouble for that.
I bumped it up.
Joe doing that, by the way. That ain't me.
Yeah, Nick, it was a $94 gift card. I thought $100 was more of a round number.
Greedy. Ungrateful.
Nick, if you take the gift card, you could use your gas money to buy the tickets you want. I mean, it all evens out.
There you go. You got it, Joe. So what do you want to hear from me? I think they made a big mistake with Slay, who's a big playmaker. Jalen Hurts to sign a rookie $250 million. That really, I think, hurt their cap there. So I'm not a big fan of Hurts. He seems like most of the season he was playing on the college level. In the end, he finally did pick it up. But as far as, you know, some of the trades that they're making, I don't agree with. But, I mean, you know, they're going to do what they're going to do. It's just my opinion.
Well, yeah, and as far as the Hurts thing, his contract is obviously a huge part of this. They paid a quarterback a lot of money. It's not the only one, though. They're paying 2 receivers. They're paying a running back. They're paying an offensive lineman. It's the whole offense. I mean, they all make a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, they kind of jumped his gun with signing Barkley again and giving him, you know, $41 million.
I agree. I mean, that was, to me, was unnecessary. I mean, to give him extra money, and then we're letting defensive players go. Nick, what do you got for us? What's your guess for this gift card that you can't wait for?
I would say it would be a cherry red Chevelle.
I like that guess.
That's a good guess.
It's not it, but it's a good guess.
That's a good guess, though.
I think it was a little hard to say Jalen was playing at a college level during the season. He was playing for a lot of the year as a pretty good quarterback. Yeah. At the end, he played great.
You know, some people, they're never going to. I mean, you because for some folks, they just can't never admit that they were wrong about something.
Well, I've noticed this.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that feel like, and I ain't been wrong about nothing yet.
Attitude reflects leadership.
Bryce Hoff.
Yeah.
I ain't been wrong. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Yeah.
No, I still believe in Bryce Huff. He's gonna get a chance.
It is amazing. We can't get the Hurts conversation to a level where it actually makes any sense. You know what's happened since the Super Bowl? I think both extremes are really too much. Like, did Jalen suddenly become the greatest quarterback ever?
Mm-mm.
No. What was he playing at a college level?
Mm-mm.
No. I think, and I'm trying to be as fair as I can, I thought for a lot of the year he was up and down. He had good moments. He had tough moments. He was, if I were to say during the year, like, was he a top five quarterback the whole year? I would say no, not the whole season. He played good, right? And then he had some moments where he was excellent and then some moments average. In the last two games, he was special. When the biggest moments, when the lights shine brightest.
Like he's a winner, man.
It's hard for people to just say those things.
You know what? The best way you can sum Jalen Hurts up in a nutshell is he's a winner. I mean, I think that's fair. And I think for a lot of people, they can't wrap their minds around that. And I'm not taking shots at anybody, but Josh Allen, for example, when you look at them comparing them together, Josh Allen is a physical specimen compared to Jalen. A physical specimen. But Jalen has those unquantifiable intangibles. Like, you know what I think about when I think about Jalen is before the Super Bowl, they played the video. Or was it after the Super Bowl where they talked about
the hate?
They asked him, why should we take you?
Yeah. This was back during his combine.
Yes.
Or his draft year.
And he looked at you straight in the face and he said, because I'm a winner, coach. He said, because I have the ability, and I'm ad-libbing here, to lead men. And every time I hear that, it gives me goosebumps. And I think back on John Gruden and what's the guy's name? Phil Simpson, Chris, when he was in the huddle.
Yeah.
And he was trying to called a play, and he couldn't spit it out. One of the biggest things that you have to have in the huddle as a quarterback, I ain't never played quarterback, but I've heard people say it, you have to be able to command the huddle, number one, and you have to say it in a way where whenever you call a play, that people believe you. Jameis Winston was on Jason Kelce's show, and he talked about how in the huddle, how he had to look at everybody. Now, he's a goofball. We know that. But he knows how to command the huddle. That's one of the most important things that you have as a quarterback. You put that – I'm not going to be crazy and say you need that over talent because that y'all are really talking bad about me. But being able to command the huddle and have that kind of confidence is right there with talent.
Yeah, I think we've lost our mind both ways on the Hurts thing. Like, he's obviously a good quarterback, and he's a winner. But like I think I made this comp a few weeks ago after they won. He's become like football's Derek Jeter. Was Derek Jeter better than Ken Griffey Jr. because Derek Jeter won all the time? No, I mean, but that's okay. Derek Jeter is a Hall of Famer and a great player. Like, it's okay. I'm happy with where Hurts is, and I hope he plays the way he did the last two games into next season.
Yeah, like that. You know what it is, Joe? It's like that one individual that you see that, you know, they might be in the sea. Like maybe you're out somewhere. You're at a club and you see a bunch of beautiful women, but it's that one woman. She might not be the one that sticks out the most, and she might not be the one that has the greatest frame, but it's something about her that you gravitate towards, or him, for this matter.
And you just lather Vaseline on me.
I just try to put it in a perspective where people can understand, because I think it's important, because that's what Jalen is, because especially at the quarterback position, I think a lot of times when we talk about quarterbacks, we get caught up more so in what we feel a quarterback should be than what he actually is. Now, and I know I said this yesterday, tongue in cheek, and I was basically saying to get on the spike skin. But Josh Allen is a hell of a quarterback, a hell of a regular season quarterback. Joe Burrow, hell of a regular season quarterback.
And Lamar Jackson. Burrow has got to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Burrow has gotten a Super Bowl. Lamar Jackson, hell of a quarterback during the regular season. They can't get past that hump for whatever reason. And on the flip side of that, when it comes to the biggest moments, they both have come up short.
They have. I mean, that's and in reality.
Here's the flip side to that. We can sit here and say Jalen has been mediocre or terrible in the regular season, up and down, roller coaster. He's on a roller coaster. But in the biggest moments,
he's shown up.
That's when he shows up.
Jalen and Lamar are interesting because they're almost the opposite. Lamar is Lamar could have three MVPs if the voting went differently. Yeah. Like that's all time stuff. But Lamar's numbers in the playoffs are rough. I mean, it just feels like he's struggling.
Jalen is showtime, man. Jalen is showtime.
Yeah, if you like, I know these lists are going to come out, and Lamar is going to be ranked ahead of Jalen on almost all of them. But if you had to win one game tomorrow,
I'm picking Jalen.
Burrow and Allen and Mahomes, that's different. But Lamar, for whatever reason, has struggled.
But Mahomes isn't in a category
by himself.
No,
he's by himself.
But out of those groupings of quarterbacks that you just named,
Lamar struggled the most.
If it was one game that I needed and I knew somebody wasn't going to pee down their leg, I'm taking Jalen.
I mean, Jalen's been great. But I think Burrow and Allen have been great,
put
too,
it like
in big
that.
Games.
No, they've
played great.
Even
Lamar's
when
the
Josh
one that's
Allen,
played the worst in the biggest
when
games.
When Josh Allen came to town and they had Jalen on the ropes, Jalen came down the field and scored and hit y'all with, "Are you not entertained?"
Yeah.
He hit you with, like, there's something about that, man. Like, you can't, and you know what? For some folks, they'll never see it because, I mean, they just ain't got it. They can't understand it. Mm. They can't understand it. But that's why. When you talk about Jalen, and people say, "What do you think about Jalen?" All I can say is, he's a winner.
Well, he is.
That's not a lie.
That all being said, and I agree with it, he's a winner, and he's MVP, Super Bowl MVP. The 2 years they've had the best defense with him is the years they've gotten.
I mean,
the
you
furthest.
Can say it. You can say it all you want, and you can say it like that, and I respect that.
So that's why I think they needed him
when he went.
Yeah, it's true.
Josh Allen ain't been. He ain't been nowhere.
Doesn't have a defense.
He ain't had no defense, but he had the ball in his hand when they lost.
He had
an opportunity.
Forget the Allen thing for a second. I'm worried about the Eagles right now, and then losing players left and right on defense. Have they allocated too much money to the offensive side?
Nope.
Well, I disagree. 215-592-9494. We'll get to everyone's phone calls here on the other side. I think the Eagles have tied up too much money on the offense. I mean, basically everyone but the right guard, and we'll see what they do there, is making a lot of money. Second contracts. Meanwhile, defense, we're losing left and right. They've allocated the money to the offense, and the defense now is losing some good players. Have the scales tipped too far? That's the way it feels for me today. Where do you guys come down on that? We'll do a Clearwater check-in later in the 12 o'clock hour. An interesting article this morning about Trey Turner's future at shortstop. We'll get to it all. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think. They'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Head to truegreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.